Okay, now go to September 6, 1937. Today I begin a new assignment. I go from the garden to the desert of the gate. I went in to talk to the Lord for a while. I asked him for blessing and for graces to faithfully carry out the duties entrusted to me. I heard these words: "My daughter, I'm always with you. I've given you the opportunity to practice deeds of mercy, which you will perform according to obedience. You will give me much pleasure if, each evening, you will speak to me, especially about the task." I felt that Jesus has given me a new grace in relation to my new duties, but despite that, I have locked myself deeper in his heart. Today I felt more ill, but Jesus has given me many more opportunities on this day to practice virtue. It so happened that I was busier than usual, and a sister in charge of the kitchen made it clear to me how irritated she was that I had come late for dinner. Although it was quite impossible for me to have come sooner. At any rate, I felt so unwell that I had to ask Mother Superior to allow me to lie down. I went to ask Sister Ann to take my place, and again I got a scolding. "What is this, Sister? You are so exhausted that you are going back to the bed again? Confound you with all this lying in bed." I put up with all that, but that wasn't the end. I still had to ask the sister who was in charge of the sick to bring me my meal. Worse. Nothing to eat. When I told her this, she passed out of the chapel into the corridor after me to give me a piece of her mind. "Why on earth are you going to bed, sister?" More work. If you go to the bed and then she'll carry all her food. Beloved sisters. Everybody is so beloved, so blessed. I asked her not to bother bringing me anything. I'm writing all this very briefly because it is not my intention to write about such things, and I'm doing so merely to dissuade souls from treating others in this way, for this is displeasing to the Lord. So she's writing down that we don't imitate what the other sister's doing. Not that she doesn't like. Of course she doesn't like these things, but she didn't write it this to share her emotions. No, nothing. Just let us know. Don't tell people when they are in need, and then don't shout to them and scold them. "Why don't you do? Why you go to bed now? You don't." In a suffering soul, we should see Jesus crucified, and not a loafer or burden of the community. A soul who suffers with submission to the will of God draws down more blessings on the whole convent than all the working sisters. Right? Poor indeed is a convent where there are no sick sisters. God often grants many and great graces out of regard for the souls who are suffering. And he withholds many punishments solely because of the suffering souls. Oh my Jesus, when shall we look upon souls with higher motives in mind? When will our judgments be true? You give us occasions to practice deeds of mercy, and instead we use the occasion to pass judgments. In order to know whether the love of God flourishes in a convent, one must ask how they treat the sick, the disabled, and the infirm who are there. So if you in a family, you got some old people doesn't walk very well, don't shout, quick. September 10th, 1937. I learned in the course of meditation that the purer the soul, the greater the communion with God on spiritual level. She pays little heed to the sense and the protests. God is spirit, and so I love him in spirit and in truth. When I heard how dangerous it was to be at the gates these days because of revolutionary disturbances and how many civil people have a hatred for comment, I went in and had a talk with the Lord and asked him to so arrange it that no evil person would dare come to the gate. She looked after the door, no? She was afraid of the people, the rough people coming and shouting at her. She's scared. She said, don't let me see anything this way. Then I heard these words, my daughter, the moment you went to the gate, I set cherub, an angel, over it to guard it, be at peace. So the Lord already sent the angel in front of the door so that the evil people, bad people, won't come. After returning from my conversation with the Lord, I saw a little white cloud, and in it, how do you pronounce cherub or cherub? C-H-E-R-U-B. The angel, seraphim, cherubim, cherub. With his hands joined, his gaze was like lightning, and I understood how the fire of God's love burns in that look. She is safe. September 14, 1937, Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Today I saw what great opposition this priest, Father Sopoko, is experiencing in regard to this whole matter. Even devout souls who are zealous for God's glory are opposing him. That he is not discouraged by all this is due to a special grace of God. So he is promoting the divine mercy. So he suffered. Even a good priest against him. Jesus says, my daughter, do not think you have written enough about my mercy. What you have written is but a drop compared to the ocean. I'm love and mercy itself. There's no misery that could be a match for my mercy. Neither will misery exhaust it, because as it is being granted, it increases. The soul that trusts in my mercy is most fortunate, because I myself take care of it. Listen again, eh? It's good to memorize the word of Jesus. It's confirming the love of God. My daughter, do not think you have written enough about mercy. Do you think you have written enough about my mercy? What you have written is just a drop compared to the ocean. I'm love and mercy itself. There is no misery that could be matched for my mercy. No matter how bad you are, the grace of God is always greater than we. Neither will misery exhaust it, because as it is being granted, it increases. The soul that trusts in my mercy is most fortunate, because I myself take care of it. So don't lose heart. Again, Jesus, we trust in you. I experience great torments of soul when I see God offended. Today I recognize that mortal sins were being committed not far from our door. It was evening. I prayed earnestly in the chapel, and then I went to scourge myself. When I knelt down to pray, however, the Lord allowed me to experience how a soul rejected by God suffers. It seems to me that my heart was torn to pieces. And at that same time, I understood how much such a soul wounds the most merciful heart of Jesus. The poor creature does not want to accept good God's mercy. The more God has pursued for a soul with his mercy, the more just will he be towards it. So the more love of God for us, if we don't receive, if we suffer by ourselves, it's all the graces, cut off from the graces. Then Jesus says, my secretary writes that I am more generous toward sinners than toward the just. It was for the sake, or for their sake, that I came down from heaven. It was for their sake that my blood was spilled. Let them not fear to approach me. They are most in need of my mercy. September 16, 1637. I wanted very much to make holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament today, but God's will was otherwise. At 8 o'clock, I was seized with such violent pains that I had to go to bed at once. I was convulsed with pain for 3 hours. That is, until 11 o'clock at night. No medicine had any effect on me, and whatever I swallowed or threw out, I threw up. At times, the pains caused me to lose consciousness. Jesus had me realize that in this way, I took part in his agony in the garden, and that he himself allowed these sufferings in order to offer operation to God for the souls murdered in the wombs of wicked mothers. Abortion. She suffered for the sake of the abortions. I've gone through these sufferings 3 times now. They always start at 8 o'clock in the evening and that last until 11. No medicine can lessen these sufferings. When 11 o'clock comes, they cease by themselves and I fall asleep at that moment. The following day, I feel very weak. This happened to me for the first time when I was at the sanatorium. The doctors couldn't get to the bottom of it, and no injection or medicine helped me at all. Nor did I myself have any idea of what the sufferings were about. I told the doctor that never before in my life had I experienced such sufferings, and he declared he did not know what sort of pains they are. But now I understand the nature of this pain, because the Lord himself has made this known to me. Yet when I think that I may perhaps suffer in this way again, I tremble. So terrible. Abortion, you know, to suck the tube inside and suck the little body out, you know. But I don't know whether I will ever again suffer in this way. I leave that to God. Only peace is God to send, I will accept with submission and love. If only I could save even one soul from murder by means of these sufferings, she would say yes for the sake of them. On the day after sufferings, I can sense the condition of souls and the disposition towards God. I'm pervaded with true knowledge. She can sense how the mother who got abortion, they don't have peace at all. he suffered, Jesus suffered. She shared the suffering of Jesus. You know, every time abortion suffered most is Jesus himself. I receive Holy Communion in manner of the angels, so to speak. My soul is filled with God's light and nourishes itself from him. My feelings are as if that this is purely spiritual union with God. It's a great predominance of spirit over nature. God gave me knowledge of the graces which he has been constantly lavishing on me. This light pierced me through and through, and I came to understand the inconceivable favors that God has been bestowing on me. I stayed in myself for a long act of thanksgiving, lying face down on the ground and shed the tears of gratitude. I could arise from the ground because whenever I tried to do so, God's light gave me new knowledge of his grace. You can imagine when you are in heaven, you don't have to move so much, you know. You can just in him already fullness of joy, you know. You don't need other companion. God already the whole thing. So she would like to get up, but the joy to stay with the grace, she prefers to stay the same position. I think in heaven it's the same. Everybody so enjoy. Of course they are friends, but I don't think they have much time to talk. First talk to the Lord. When you talk to the Lord, when you're one with the Lord, already one with each other, you know, at times you want to just draw the attention of people that they can pay attention to you. This selfishness. You want to be, you know, you feel lonely because you don't have God. When you have God, you don't need, we don't need people, but you know, it's really, we have to learn this spirit, this oneness with the Lord. So beautiful. It was only the third attempt that I was able to get up. At this, as his child, I felt that everything the Heavenly Father possessed was equally mine. You see, she shared the grace of Jesus. Huh? He himself lifted me from the ground up to his heart. I felt that everything that existed was exclusively mine, but I had no desire for it all, because God alone is enough for me. See, everything is belong to her, you know, but she didn't need it. It's enough with the Lord. Today I learned with what aversion the Lord comes to a certain soul in Holy Communion. He goes to that heart as to a dark prison to undergo torture and affliction. I kept begging his pardon and offering atonement for the offense. That means to people who receive communion with the clean, with the pure heart, with mortal sin. So she sensed that. The Lord made known to me that I would see my brother, Stanley, but I could not understand how this would happen or why he should come to visit me. I knew that God had given him the grace of a religious vocation, but why should he be coming to visit me? However, I put aside these thoughts and believed that if the Lord had given me to know he would come, that he was in love, that was enough for me. I fixed my thoughts on God, putting aside every preoccupation with creatures and trusting everything to the Lord. You can imagine, even good things come to her. At times, she's so simple, no? And they ask, why? And then, afterwards, she finds, oh, no, I shouldn't ask why. Whatever the Lord. So simple. It's simple mind. She never pretend to be holy, to be everything perfect. No, for human point of view, she is not really. She should learn from experience. But she knows. She is so simple.
She's free.
Huh? She's so free. Giving her some messages and then why? Brother, then you have to give them to the Lord, no? Then you should know the brother. Then why? What I can do? What's the matter? And in fact, she can write this. It's also beautiful, no? She can hide these things, no? As if she understand very well the Lord and that. She can do that, no? But she's so plainly, her feeling. It's another simplicity. We learn from this simplicity, we have to be more simple. We are too complicated at times, many times. Or at times, we are complicated. You think so much thing, not to hide a little bit, hiding some bad points and giving all the beautiful things out. When we write the diary, all the beautiful things, never share the dark side of the soul. She shared the dark side of the soul. When the same poor people come to the gates a second time, I treat them with greater gentleness, and I do not let them see that I know they have been here before. I do this not a lot to embarrass them, and then they speak to me freely about their troubles and needs. That means to say they already shared with her many times. But she listened as if the first time, with so much interest. But for us, might be, okay, I know. Oh, no, you're like, I don't know what you mean. Give her some money and go away. You know? But no. Oh, yes. Oh. So, really, we have to learn to treat your kids, your household works, as if the first day, the first time to meet these people, with joy, with listening. That's simplicity. Otherwise, when you go already to the doorbell, or no, you don't have to ring the doorbell, when you put a key, then you say, you'll die already, half dead. Be with Jesus. Stay with you. If you stay with Jesus, you don't need consolation from people. You feel bad because you don't have God. That's the answer. If you don't have, no matter how good you are, you still suffer. Although this end tells me that it's not a way to deal with beggars. Still some sister turn and, no, don't do that. And slams the door in the faces when she's not there. I treat them as my master would. Sometimes more is given when giving nothing than when giving much in a rude manner. I mean, the other sister gave the money and bang. There may sometimes, you know, we religious people give bad example. You know, even she, you're her sister, they are. I don't know why the sisters, when they are so used to the things, so sometimes worse than the lay people would do, isn't it? That's bad. I'm not scolding you, eh? Just share my feeling. Often the Lord gives me interior knowledge concerning the persons I meet at the gate. When pitiable, so wanted to tell me a bit about herself, take advantage of the opportunity, and make her understand in a delicate way the miserable condition of her soul. She went away with a better disposition. She pretend, you know, they are pretend if he's so good and might be so miserable. Then she said, now she is in a more gentle way. But maybe we say, wait. No, she says, but, no, she's so gentle. We have to learn so much gentleness from this. Gentleness comes from simplicity. We are too complicated, my goodness. September 17, Oh Jesus, I see so much beauty scattered around me, beauty of which I give you constant thanks. But I see that some souls are like stone, always cold and unfeeling. Even miracles hardly move them. Their eyes are always fixed on their feet, and so they see nothing but themselves. You have surrounded my life with your tender and loving care, more than I can comprehend. For I will understand your goodness in its entirety only when the veil is lifted. I decide that my whole life be but one act of thanksgiving to you, O God. Next time we share her thanks. Thank you, Jesus, for it. I think we need to learn be thankful for many things in our life. But this is, we'd have to learn from her.